everybody. Welcome to the second episode of Intellectually Shallow, where we overanalyze the mundane. No diving, no horseplay, and no pushing. Yeah, this is tradition. I always screw up the intro. I'll have to come up with a new one. It's bad.
It worked for me.
Okay, I'm glad it did.
Except that I do push.
Okay, how about horseplay? That's much more fun. That's so much more sexier than push. Horseplay.
Yeah, horseplay. Maybe it depends how you push or what you're pushing. I don't know.
That makes sense. Yeah. Pushing, pulling, shoving, you know. Okay.
Yeah. There's a whole litany.
Whole litany.
Yeah. Well, I'm Rachel.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's rude of me. I did not introduce our guest. This is Rachel.
Rachel Flanger.
And she does improv.
Yeah. I do improv comedy. Something tells me I'll need all my skills right now.
Definitely.
Definitely.
So you have a show coming up?
Yep. My group is called Running with Scissors, and we do improv comedy. So it's like, whose line is it anyway? You know, that sort of, we make it up as we go along. And actually this summer I put together a improv comedy festival. It was 8 improv groups over 3 nights. It was so much funny. Not that I really ever do sit-ups, but I didn't have to after that weekend. But from there, now my group has a show every third Wednesday of the month at the Mayo Street Arts Center in Portland, Maine.
Which is coming
7 p.m.
This show's this show's going up on Saturday, so it should be, people should hear this in time for the show.
Well, perfect. And it's the show that September 15th is the day before my birthday.
Ooh.
So I would consider it a birthday gift for people to attend.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Also, people can send me birthday gifts if they want.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoy birthday gifts. Who doesn't like gifts?
That's true. It just depends, you know. Sometimes presents aren't exactly, you know, sometimes stuff you get for free usually costs more than what you, if you just paid for it.
Well, that's okay. I'm willing to sell it, give it away, and or pawn it if I don't like it.
Awesome. That's the way to go.
Yeah. I've no pride. I don't care about hurting people's feelings generally.
Include receipt, please.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
And not a gift receipt. I want to see how much you paid for it. I want to know how much you love me.
Ah. You know, we have a discuss on how much money, we have an article here about how much money it takes to make people happy. But in news, in more topical news, or something more in the common vernacular or whatever. Let's see, Pastor Terry Jones is this guy who's calls off the Quran burning, but deal for Ground Zero Mosque is denied. Let me go off on this guy first. You know, really, it's this guy in this crazy church in Florida announced that he was going to burn the Quran on 9/11. Really. And the guy is I like to call him a religious entrepreneur. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
he's seen a future.
Well, you know, and it's sort of like, I'm not getting what I need from a church, from the regular church, from your mainstream religions. You know, whether it's, you know, you don't agree with what they're saying, or maybe the Starbucks latte was not that great at the megachurch, or maybe you just wanted to form your own megachurch, you know, very entrepreneurial, or you just wanted to have young girls have their parents give you young girls to sleep with. It's usually a couple reasons why you form your own religion. But this guy...
Also insanity.
That too. I forgot about head injuries.
Yeah. Don't forget about that.
But have you ever been down to Florida, Rachel?
I've been to Florida. It's very, very hot. That also has something to do with people's mental stability sometimes.
This is true.
Very humid place.
You know, but it's more like the Bible Belt sort of hits the northern Florida, like Tampa and a little bit south. Miami's
so where
not...
the people still have southern accents, where it's confusing?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah.
There you see all these little churches... You know, Brother Billy Bob Jim James Real Bible Church. you know, as opposed to the fake Bible church.
Right.
And so he's just like one of these Billy Bob, Jim Bob Bible church, you know. And, you know, this guy really is a marketing genius. You know, he should get the marketing prize right up there with, you know, like in the 70s, the Where's the Beef lady. Who came up with that
slogan? You don't really think that he thinks that the Quran should be burned?
I think...
You think that he's just trying to get some attention to his 50 followers and his word?
I have a feeling that...
Because I got to tell you, just to interrupt, I am, you know, we just talked about the show that I am putting on. And if I could get maybe national media attention, I would also threaten to burn some sort of religious book. But I would go, I mean, L. Ron Hubbard, I think I would burn maybe Dianetics. They have a lot of money and they can reprint. And I think that they would, like, you know, with the star power that they have, if I could get a call from, like, Tom Cruise or Travolta, you know what I mean? I could get some real attention to my shows. So I hear what you're saying. It's kind of genius.
You know, you mentioned Scientology. We talk about that. I talk about that a lot.
You talk about Scientology a lot?
Always.
You sound like a very interesting person.
Well, I don't talk about actually...
Do people fall asleep at all when you're...
No. Well, kind of. But the thing about Scientology is I like Scientology for one reason. I don't really like the religion or any of that other crap. I'm kind of an agnostic, and I think most religions are just stuff. And I really, you know, but you could actually watch a religion develop in semi-real time. You know, instead of Christianity taking 2,000 years to develop, we watched Scientology took like 30 years.
Right.
Really, because the whole religion is based on a guy, a really crappy science fiction writer. I've actually read his books.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Oh.
Turn his crappy writing into a religion. That just tells you how good a writer you have to be.
But science fiction, everything can go really fast. That's the definition of science fiction. There's like no time. You can bend the space-time continuum, and that's the whole idea. No wonder he wanted to be like who wants to wait the 10,000 years? If I want to start a religion, I want 30 years, and I want people in and sold.
Well, with the modern media, that's true. With the modern media, you can sort of, you know, things are compressed. Everything moves faster now, just in general, with technology. You know,
well, that's true.
And he did.
I mean, you can.
And he did a couple of things that, you know, every movement like that has like three legs to it. One leg is emotion. It appeals to some emotion to people, whether it's fear, whether it's lust, whether it's, you know, a lot of different things, mostly fear. You know, two, repetition. You repeat things over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And number three is peer pressure. Every religion has those three things.
Okay.
You're a heathen.
I'm taking notes, by the way, because I'm ready to have minions.
Oh, yes. I've been thinking about this myself. You know?
I'm totally taking notes. So berate people, scare them, and what was the other one?
Peer pressure. Like, you have to be...
And then tell them they're not cool.
Tell them if they don't follow the rules, they will be put out. And but to make that really stick, you have to make it look like everybody else is evil and wrong, and they're going to hell, or they have the alien spirits in them, or whatever. But you have to sort of build the other. All religions are sort of that thing.
Think about it. Like, you're going to have all of your weight around your abdomen. That would be horrible.
Okay.
That's maybe not. That's not enough. I'll work on it.
Work on it.
Unibrow. You will have a unibrow.
Where'd that come from?
No, I mean, I'm just getting into this, so I'll start working on it.
Start working on it. This is something I've thought about over the last probably three or four. I finally sort of codified the code of, you know, it really works with other things too, like marketing, advertising, you know, but those are not that much different than each other. It's not that much different. But this guy is a marketing genius, consciously or subconsciously. You know, his 50 followers in Florida have national attention. The president is talking about him. You know, this guy is a marketing genius. Whether on purpose or not, or totally subconscious. You know?
Yeah. I think maybe also part of it is that something he very strongly believes in. But, I'm having these flashbacks back to, you know, Germany, circa late 1930s. You know, where we all of a sudden start hating a group of people, and it's kind of funny. It's kind of, we're just talking about it as marketing. And, you know, I mean, I'm torn about really caring and then just shutting down and not giving him any attention. So apparently the Secretary of Defense did give him a little ringy dingy and said cease and desist. And at which point he said that the Quran burning is not canceled. It's just postponed. I don't know if it's raining where he is or what, but they're just going to postpone it. Maybe they couldn't get anybody to work the hot dog stand or something. So, we'll see where it goes. I feel like this guy could pick up a lot of momentum with people who feel very similarly to him, thanks to the media. Mm-hmm. That'll be good.
You know, really, if you wanted to step it up a notch from Quran burning, you know, we're going to earn the explicit tag here. You know what you could do with the Quran on your,
what?
You know, for your show, you know,
what?
You know, blood from the menses on the Quran.
Oh, jeez.
You would be kicking it up to the next level.
You're not messing around, are you?
No.
Okay, you went there, and it is very rare that I'm like, whoa, I'm not touching that. Guess what? I'm not touching that.
Well, you know, you got to have the balls or whatevers.
You can't have balls to do what you're talking about.
You've got, or not really balls, but you have to have, like, chutzpah, you know, spine.
You got to have chutzpah.
You got to be committed to making an impression. No half measures. Yeah. And you've got to one up.
I want to encourage people to call in at this point. I mean, I'm sure we've said some things that people might have some opinions about. Can you tell them a little bit more about how to do that?
Okay. If you call in, if you have a phone, you can call in at...
If you have a phone, that's going to be a requisite.
Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's 724, and there goes the cats. Hold on. 724-444-8555. No, hold on. Let me get the damn number.
No, I got it.
You got it?
724-444-7444. And then the code is 85444.
Yes.
And I encourage somebody to call in.
Definitely. We have, you know, so, and you thought the topics were boring.
I do. I think we haven't even gotten into any of the topics that you gave me. That we were going to discuss.
This is true.
Which I'm fine with.
But, you know, it's these things, and this is sort of a shallow thing because really it's all emotion, all this stuff. There's no real, like, fact. And really this guy's a nothing. And we're all getting all wound up about it.
Yeah.
That's the part that, you know, we're giving him attention.
Well, I think that everybody's feeling very strongly about all the things that are going on in the country, and this is sort of the, I think, personification of what liberal people think that conservative people actually think. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's correct. I mean, I think it's just, you know, this one dude, but I think that liberal people are like, yep, this is exactly, you know, and I'm a liberal person, so I'm probably going to offend part of my own clan here, but I think we all just sort of have to shut him down and just say, you don't really exist to us.
And seriously, people that are very conservative, that are even on the crazy end of the religious right spectrum, Pat Robertson is dissing this guy. You know, he is taking it to the next level.
Yeah, that's what I knew that would happen. I knew it. I think that we should talk about a little bit about that article that you said about the what people... it was so boring. It was the article about media making easy for people to hate people. I think that would fit right in here, if I may segue.
Not a bad segue. And I got to pull that article up.
That's pronounced segue.
Segue?
Segue?
I thought it was segue, but that's just me.
No, those are the things that you ride around on.
Okay.
No, it is pronounced segue as well.
Yes.
I mean,
segue is French.
Segue is French. But segue is spelled segue. Just like crudité is spelled crudite. So when I want some raw veggies, I order some crudite, yo.
Oh, yeah.
Some classy. So basically, the article talks about how the way to make people hate someone is to point out the differences in them.
Definitely. Yeah, point out the differences, and then once you point out a difference, you can actually convince them into anything.
Right.
It's actually, this is super scientific article, too. It's from PhysOrg.
Super scientific article. Do we know that I can't even add? And it's got, like, super science he's sending me.
This is
but
true.
Anyway.
This is super science.
I did wrap my mind around it. So basically it's saying, if the media wants somebody to get you to hate someone, all they have to point out is how they are different than you.
And they have to repeat it a lot.
And they have to peer pressure you.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to have some sort of punishment.
Yes.
Just like a cult.
Exactly.
See, the media is a cult. Look what we're doing.
Those three things usually apply to anything you want someone to do that's really against their sort of logical best interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you want to get someone to, like, you know, war. If you want to get somebody to kill somebody, that's kind of a not really in most people's interest to kill somebody, to go fight in a war or you know, create a Holocaust or any horrible act.
Or if I'm having an affair, to get the guy to kill my husband.
That's actually in his best interest to kill your husband. Because he wants you.
Sorry.
That's actually sort of logical.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's
You're
not like
scaring me now. Yeah.
But they actually do these crazy things that people wonder why they happen. It's really sort of like, I think most of these things that we have, like I mentioned, are really that kind of pre-agriculture. It's like before, like, we were pre-literate, and almost we really didn't have, you met like 500 people and you really had to learn things quickly. You didn't have logic. You didn't have a lot of tools that we have today to evaluate.
How far back are we going? Did we have fire here?
Yeah.
Did we have the wheel?
We had fire in the wheel.
How far back are we going?
We had fire in the wheel.
But pre-plague?
Pre-agriculture.
What were people wearing?
Probably animal skins.
All right, okay. All right, so we got a wheel, we got fire, we got animal skins, and we're trading pelts.
And trading probably wasn't even that big. I don't really know, but
no,
I mean,
not
really,
even. We are killing someone if they have some sort of meat that we want. All right, now I'm getting where we're at. All
we're
right,
kind
go
of
ahead.
Like, we're kind of like before we actually we killed things and we found food, hunter gatherers.
Okay.
And really, we're in smaller groups, and maybe you met like your whole life, you met 100 people, if that.
Okay, so we're at like Madagascar in the Disney or Pixar world, but not Ice Age.
Correct. Well, I don't know the whole timeline, but sort of like before.
Well, this is how I need to equate to things.
Pre-Sumerian culture. Let's put it that way. If you know what Sumeria is.
No, I'm asking you to equate things to Pixar movies. Do you think that you're really
Pixar
gonna,
movies? Let's see. Sort of like sometime after 1 million BC, which wasn't a Pixar movie, but you know, post-dinosaur. You know, sort of like 1 million BC without the dinosaurs.
Okay.
Make sense? Raquel Welch.
All right, perfect.
Raquel Welch wasn't that hot back then.
Okay.
Okay. So.
All right. This is going to be some kind of Pauly Shore movie, I know, but go ahead. Okay, keep going.
So, you know, these things all develop. Most of our, and we actually probably spent like 100,000 years of our existence living like that.
And I don't even like camping.
No.
We have evolved, my friend. we have evolved.
And all these emotions and things like that, most of them developed at that time. I'm just, you know, I don't have any real super proof or anything like that. But, you know, it's kind of like just my, you know, this is my sort of, my guess. It's
theory?
Theory. Okay. It's a theory. It's probably more of a hypothesis if you think of science. But so we were, so all these things developed, all our instincts evolved in that 100,000-year time period. Really, we have not been civilized for more than 10,000 years, a pretty small time frame. So all, so new things don't really have that much time to develop. So most of our instincts, most of the way we eat, you know, is really was actually developed that pre-agriculture.
Okay.
So, for example, you know, racism. Let me point out racism, for example. It probably...
Let's keep it light. Go ahead. Racism is a good one.
We get the heavy thing sometimes. But, you know, things like that.
We're keeping it light. Go ahead, yeah.
But really, that was probably a survival trait back then, because if you could get people together to attack something else, your group survived.
Right.
So you zeroed in on the differences, and you went and killed somebody. You survived, they died.
Okay.
And it probably worked from an evolutionary standpoint. But now we live in a civilized society, but we still have those things in our sort of DNA, psyche sort of thing. And
right.
when they get invoked, you know, with modern weapons and modern information, things get real ugly.
Okay. I have a different theory.
Okay.
Which is, it's a lot of times it's kill or be killed.
Yep.
So in pointing out the difference, it might be it has sharp teeth and it's coming towards us very rapidly.
Yep.
That's a huge difference. So, you know, Darwin, he had that theory about, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So I'm not necessarily sure that pointing out the differences now is a sort of survival tactic and we're doing out of surviving. I think we created a political monster for ourselves, and that's a lot of the cogs of the wheel that we're stuck in. But I don't know if it goes back to instinct or if it's just, you know, it's how our country is split. And in times of recession, there's so much more hate that it's ridiculous.
Well, in times of famine and fear, people are struck to like survive their survival instinct.
They want to blame people.
Yes.
But I also want to point out that in times of recession, women wear more red lipstick.
This is true.
I don't know if it's connected, but it's a fun fact, and there it is for you.
Okay.
Red lipstick.
Who's the caller?
What?
Let's go, Alau. Let's unmute somebody here. And I'm like, okay. Let's go.
Who's their caller? What do they want to say to us? Be ready to hang up.
Okay. Oh, I can mute them right away. Unmute. Hello, caller from Maine. Do you have anything to say? There we go.
Bye.
Hello, caller from Maine.
Caller from Maine.
Do you have anything to say?
Are you there?
I am there. How are you?
Good.
Good. Who are we speaking with?
This is Crazy Climber.
Hello, what is Crazy Climber? Should we call you Crazy?
Sure.
Okay, Crazy, what do you have to say?
I'm not sure because I just hit your tweet, but I don't even know what the show is about.
Oh, hang up on him. You don't get to call a show without knowing and having something to say.
Well,
call back when you've been listening for a while.
You can listen. Just we'll put you on mute and text your question, and if we like it, we'll let you talk. Unless you have something to ask.
That sounds good.
Okay?
You're nicer than I am.
Well, you know, it's a new show, and you kind of have to work into things.
Yeah, but, you know. If you don't know what's going on, why would you call into somewhere and, like, want to talk about something?
This is true.
You ready?
I think he probably just dialed in the phone since we put the number out there. So cut the guy some slack. Don't be such a hard ass.
All right. Well, apparently Madagascar takes place in modern time.
I think it does,
so
too.
So that's my bad.
Ice Age takes advantage in not here at times.
Ice Age, and then there's I don't know. The Lion King?
That's just animals. Who knows when that happens?
All right. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
This is true.
But they talk, and it's confusing.
Animals
it's like they're people.
You know, animals talking, that's just horrible. I think that's bad. you know.
I agree.
We could, speaking of talking animals, now that you mention that, mm-hmm. we're going to jump off our, you know, a lighter note. You know, there's a study that came out that said, pot is not a gateway drug. And they have this article, and it's pretty good, but it said one thing that I really, we'll get to it when I'll read it, but the one thing that they say here is not what they're talking about. The indirect result is what I'm interested in. You know, a new report cast doubt on the argument that marijuana is a gateway drug that plays a major role in leading people to try other legal drugs. Researchers found that other factors such as ethnicity and stress levels are more likely to predict whether young adults will use other illegal drugs. Even unemployment appears to be more closely linked to harder illicit drug use than marijuana use, the study authors noted. Employment in young adulthood can protect people by closing the marijuana gateway, so over-criminalizing youth marijuana might create more serious problems if it interferes with later employment opportunities, says study co-author Karen Van Gundy, an associate professor of sociology at the University of New Hampshire, said in a university news release. The researchers based their findings on surveys of 1,286 young adults who attended...
Are you going to read this whole article?
Almost. It's a short article.
Okay, keep going.
Basically, they talk about... It's basically they took a survey of Miami public schools in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And they found out that, you know, really... Early marijuana did not play a role. But one thing what was the best predictor was ethnicity. And here's the kicker that's very interesting. Whites were most likely to use drugs, followed by Hispanics and then blacks. And I saw this on Reddit, and somebody said, well, it's 1,200 people in Miami. But really, if you think about it, Miami's probably pretty ethnically diverse than more than a lot of places. And even still, whites float to the top in drug use. So it's probably worse
in
than other places.
In pot use or drug use?
In drug use in general.
Oh.
You know? And this is...
So can I ask you a question before
yes.
we continue?
Okay.
Are you high right now?
No.
No, you're not. All right. Well, I just wanted to...
You know? But it does fly into it does sort of fly into the whole poor minorities doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They may be selling the drugs... And they're the ones getting caught, but they're not the ones doing them.
That was very racist.
What?
That was very racist.
My statement?
To assume that the minorities are the people who are selling the drugs.
This is true. I'm not making that assumption. I'm just stating that the racist stereotype is pretty much.
Yes, the stereotype
shit.
Is certainly.
It's not even based in any sort of truth whatsoever.
No.
It's all perception.
It's, yeah. Really, it's Whitey who's sitting around doing drugs.
Yep.
Which is interesting. This, you know what they should do is a remake of Friday.
Friday.
Have you ever seen the movie?
Freaky
Huff
Friday?
Puff Give. No, Friday.
Friday. I've not seen the movie.
It's about a black people who smoke a lot of pot.
Okay.
Basically, it's a very, very funny movie, but it, I have to say, would contribute to the stereotype
okay.
about what you're talking about.
Oh yeah. I mean, not that black people don't do drugs, it's just that, you know, they're not the biggest consumers at all.
They're not the biggest consumers, but they're the biggest users.
Well, they're the biggest, they use them, but they're not nearly the biggest. They're not even number two, they're number three, according to this survey anyway.
Right. So what you're saying, well, I want to tell you that I don't know about a gateway drug.
I think it's a myth.
I think it's a myth. I think I know a lot of people who go right to the meth.
Or the prescription drugs. That's probably
the oxy.
Oh, the oxy. I think prescription drugs are more the gateway drug than like weed or booze.
I agree.
Because, you know... Oxy, not that much different than heroin. And you might, if you can't get the oxy, you might hit the heroin. And vice versa.
Right.
You know, those are closer to the illegal drugs.
Well, I know that when I'm out of oxy, I'm like, well, let me smoke a blunt.
Ooh.
I'm not like, hey, let me smoke a blunt. I'm out of weed. Let me take an oxy.
Yep.
Is that what you do? You take an Oxy or do an Oxy?
Well,
see,
I think,
obviously don't really do them, so I don't really.
OxyContin, I think you crush them and snort them just like to get the max effect, because the Oxy pills, they're sort of time-released, so they hit your system slower. So if you want that quick hit, you crush them and snort them.
You're totally high right now.
No, I just know about all the shit.
You're totally high.
I couldn't. Yeah, I'm high on life,
don't
Rachel. High on life.
All right. I believe you.
I could, you know. Well, maybe, you know, if you came to the if you came to my house and we did it live, you might know these things.
Whoa! Did what live? This is a whole different show all of a sudden.
You could come to my house because I have an extra mic. You could have came here and talked.
Well.
But that's one of the stories.
I think this is working.
I think it's working pretty good too.
Yeah.
You know, but I only drink a little bit and barely that, and mostly wine, and occasional beer. You know, I have my wine theory. Have you heard my wine theory?
No.
I have a wine theory, like pithy name, between $7 and $15. Right.
What?
It's got to have a pithy name between $7 and $15.
Yeah.
Like Red Truck, for example. Pretty good wine. Not bad. Herding Cats. What's another one I got some few times? Sometimes a foreign name, but not like a place is usually.
I'm not getting what the theory is.
The theory is good wine.
It has to have
good drinkable wine between $7 and $15 a bottle has a pithy name. You have to have a pithy name, and it's between $7 and $15. Okay.
So that's your marketing? That's what you're saying?
That's
what they do to...
That's how you find the wine. Like, you know, if it's name of a place in that price range, stay away.
Okay.
If you don't know the wine. There might be, I'm saying there's exceptions to every rule, but if you don't know the wine, stay away. Boone's Farm, bad.
I think we should go back to talking about the Quran.
Okay. Herding Cats, good. If you find a wine that was $13 called Major Dickhead, buy it. It's probably good. Because the name is pithy, and, you know, and only somebody with good wine could pull off calling their wine Major Dickhead and actually get it on the shelves in the store. So you're pretty
safe. You know, my brother-in-law does wine marketing, and I think that we need to talk to him about this.
That's
because he really worked very hard on the art and the quality of the wine.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess that really doesn't have anything to do with it.
No, but actually, that wine that usually has that name is usually pretty good quality, actually. That's... kind of like, you know, in that range, it's usually, experimental wines, like boutique places are kind of, you know, that do interesting things. Or wines from like Chile or Argentina in that price range, it's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
That's my wine
Argentina,
thing.
That's good. So. I know a lot more than wine about that, and we can get in a lot of discussions about it if you want, but it's really...
That's
kind of boring.
That's my quick hit, you know. That's a quick hit. Not sure what wine to buy. You're at the store. You don't have to think too much. You just have to follow a couple easy rules, and you got your wine, and you're probably going to be in good shape, and it's not going to suck.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, that's my drinking rule.
That's good. The next time that I go in and I'm like already hammered and I'm like, oh shit, I don't know what wine to get. I'm going to be like, I need just a pithy name and between $7 and $15 and I'm golden. And an Oxy. Right. And I'll be like, I'll be fine. Did you see the video on FARC.com?
No.
Of this asshole who has his passed out girlfriend in the shopping cart?
No, I did not see that.
She's in a shopping cart, and she's totally passed out, and he's got all his groceries, like, all on top of her and whatever, and he's putting them up on the conveyor belt to pay. And then I guess she's in the way of something, and she's sitting on it, so he picks her up like a rag doll, and she's just, like, her head's bobbing, and people are laughing. And then, you know, he bags everything up, so he puts her back in, and puts all the bags on top of it. And everybody's just sort of laughing and ignoring it. And no one thinks to call 911, like maybe he roofied her and it kicked in too fast and he didn't have all the treats for sustenance of the night he had planned. like nobody, it didn't occur to them to actually like, you know, take care of him, take care of her in some sort of way. It concerns me.
So she had to haul him around in, the shopping cart.
Like she was totally unconscious. I got to tell you people, if you see me unconscious in a shopping cart, it's not my choice. That's not going to be my choice. In a Walmart shopping cart is not where I'm going to be. I probably will be in a ditch somewhere, you know, like by accident. But nobody should be carting around. Please call 911 if that happens.
Hmm.
I just got took video of it, laughed. Everybody's laughing. I was concerned. I didn't find it funny.
No.
Which I think is why it was posted.
Yeah, I had to haul somebody around that was really drunk once. It wasn't very fun. And they drank way too much liquor.
Would you take her to Walmart and do your shopping?
Nah. We just drove him around on my buddy's VW, 1968 VW Bug, until we figured out what we were going to, he wouldn't sober up enough that we could get him home. So I had to go to his parents' house and drop him off and say, well, your son's Eric's had too much to drink, but that's all he had. And then I went home and my dad hollered at me. And I didn't get punished, believe it or not. He goes, as long as you told the truth. And he goes, I said, that's the truth. He goes,
that's good. That
so
is pretty
my father was pretty, you know, he goes, as long as you tell me the truth, then, you know, I'm okay. But, you know, that's
reasonable stage father.
It's really, actually, real truth is I actually lied out my ass off, but I didn't get caught, so it was cool.
Sweet.
So.
Right. So you learned, so what he taught you was how to lie.
Well, no.
That's an important lesson. That's a good dad. You got to know how to lie.
You got to learn how to lie. You know, lying is a valuable skill.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Very valuable.
Very
skill.
Valuable
like,
skill.
I'm having a really nice time right now. I'm kidding.
I love that. I'm glad.
I'm kidding.
You're very,
kidding.
And, you know, and you're just a sweet little flower that's being coy on my show.
I am very delicate.
Yes. Cat, get off the board. Okay. So where are we at here? Here's one I kind of like that's kind of an interesting news that you can use, so to speak. You know, this one's kind of boring, but I think there's some possibilities here. Creditors turn to Facebook for payments. They've actually, creditors actually try to weasel your way into your Facebook profile to get you to pay up.
Right.
And they were like, I can imagine someone doing that. And
for instance, I wouldn't want my creditors to know that I just bought myself an electric guitar. And I posted it on my Facebook and my Twitter and whatever. And I put a picture like, here's my electric guitar. That's probably not going to go well for me if my creditors are following me.
Well, I don't know. That's true. But here's another reason. Here's not so good reason. Like, especially if you're like delinquent in a lot of bills and your creditors get a hold of your profile and they post on your wall that Rachel is a big fat loser who owes lots of money to lots of people.
Yeah, that's not good.
Or like Rachel is getting her house in foreclosure, so please pay. You know how they call and get mad at you and humiliate you on the phone? They just do that on your Facebook profile. And then they get on the phone and chat your friends up and talk trash about you. You know that Rachel, she's a real welcher. And, you know, the sort of like think of like the
can we use the term deadbeat?
Deadbeat. That's a good one. She's a deadbeat.
Yeah.
And think of if you were a high school girl and how you would, you know, torture somebody on, you know, your creditors do that to you. Like they chat with your friends and talk trash about you.
Yeah, people kill themselves.
Oh,
those
yeah.
High schoolers, they're killing themselves over their cyber bullying.
Oh, yeah. And,
you could be cyber bullied to death.
You could, by your creditors.
By your creditors.
Yeah, then what they do is they take a life insurance policy out on you, and then they cyber bully you to death. And then that's how they get their money.
Ooh, genius.
Genius. I'm telling you, you know.
Genius. This could be a whole new business for us.
Oh, yeah. Whole new business model for collections. Oh, man.
No, I'm going to get in on the collection side of things.
You know, if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah, it's not even about beating and joining. I think it's entrepreneurial. It sounds the possibilities are huge.
I think so, too. You know, And life insurance policy is pretty cheap.
So far, I want to say to you, so far during this, and I'm glad I'm a guest co-host here because now I'm going to start a cult.
Yep.
I'm going to get some minions.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to get into the life insurance and then cyberbullying and then have people die so that I can collect their money.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start doing OxyContin. And I'm going to watch Madagascar because apparently I don't really know what it's about.
No, because Madagascar is about people, animals in the zoo escaping and going to Madagascar.
Oh.
So it's not really about the prehistoric past. That would be Ice Age, I think you're referring to. You know, these things are very educational here at Intellectually Shallow.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You can learn a lot of things here. And I got more where that came from. So keep listening.
Way to plug it.
I got way more stories than that.
I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of happy, if you have what you need to so your creditors don't try to cause you to commit suicide on Facebook, is you need $75,000 a year. Here's a new study I read in Time where if you make about $75,000 a year to about, I think it's like probably in that range. If you make above that, you know, you feel like you feel like you're relatively happy. Less than that, you feel stressed out. You don't feel like
basically,
you're...
Basically, if I could summarize this article.
Yep.
The price for happiness is $75,000.
Correct.
More than that, you feel like you've accomplished something, but it doesn't affect your happiness.
No.
Less than that, you don't feel like you can get on top of things, and you feel very, very stressed out.
Exactly. You know, so if you make more, you probably you're not any more happy. You might have more things. Less than that, you're always chasing after the next dollar. So
right. You're
always stressed out.
You're always stressed out. Obviously, this person who wrote this article, like, you know, when I lived in New York City, $75,000, it's a good number. I mean, it's kind of high, but
yep. It's
definitely attainable for people.
Mm-hmm.
In Maine, that's like a great upper management salary. So I'm not sure if the cost of living is, you know, included in this kind of thing, because I don't know.
I think in Maine, it's I think 75 grand is about a middle level manager salary, depending on where you work. 75. Actually, maybe I make too much money. No, yeah. I think 75 is the high. 75 in Maine is six figures, like in any other major metropolitan area. I think anywhere between like 60 is like you're like in six figure range in most places.
Okay.
I think that seems about right. But there's people that make that kind of money here that aren't necessarily that much of a. They're not in upper management by no means. They're more middle management.
Right.
I know that because
people in middle management are bitter anyway.
I work in a multinational corporation, which I will not mention.
Multinational corporation.
Yes.
Okay. I pour drinks.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
people can come see me at the Snug if they'd like. If they live in Portland, Maine, and there's Saturdays and Sundays.
There you go. Saturdays and Sundays. Rachel's at the Snug. She'll tell you a story.
I will. It'll be about how much money you make and how happy you should be about it.
This is true. And, you know, and if you were a really happy person, you'd tip more. Because you'd be giving.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, people don't think when they're ordering water that they need to tip, but I still am doing the same amount of work for you when I am making a water. And in fact, people will drink 80 waters. And so they have me running around pouring water and water and water. I'm not saying a dollar per water, but could we just get a little bit of the recognition? I'm doing a shout-out for the bartenders everywhere.
Yeah, I usually tip if I just drink water. Or I'm usually with somebody having drinks if I drink water.
Yeah.
So there's usually some tip involved with both of those.
There you go.
I usually don't drink water by myself. Not anymore.
But you drink a lot by yourself?
No. I don't drink water in a bar by myself. Usually, not anymore. There was a time I did. But now, just like, you know, if I'll be with somebody, I'll have a drink and have a couple glasses of water and have another drink, you know.
That's probably good. You probably don't get hungover that way.
This is, yeah. Well, sometimes. I'm getting to the point where I'm at the point in my life that if I have too many drinks and stay up too late, I might as well have just drank a bottle of whiskey. I'm almost at that point.
So why don't you just drink a bottle of whiskey?
I don't know. I figured instead of being down for a whole day, I'd probably be down for a week. I'm what you call a moderate drinker. Even when I was younger, people would go, "Oh, you're such a moderate drinker," which is, you know, not that I didn't get drank a lot, but most of the time it was just a few beers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me. But I think that in Maine, back to the money thing, you know, I think if you make 75 grand a year in Maine, you're doing okay. You're doing pretty well.
You'd be happy.
I think in New York City, I think you're probably lower end of the union. If you have a union job, you're probably making more than that. Like if you're in the transportation
union. How do I get in one of these unions?
In New York City, you make that kind of money. I don't know if you make that in Maine, getting a union job.
I would like to be in a union.
You'd have to like sit in the toll booth and take money at the subway.
I would like to start my own union, which is the union for being in unions.
Ah, the meta union.
The meta union.
Yes. You know.
I'm telling you, all you have to do is be in the union and you get the benefits of the union. Mm. And all you have to do is be in the union.
And pay dues.
And so it goes.
And pay dues
and then collect benefits.
This is true.
I'm starting my own union.
Yep. You should form your own.
Then when people ask me to do stuff, I'm going to be like, union, I'm on break, please. I'm on my scheduled break. I'm a union. People are going to be like, what union? I'm going to be like, the union of being in unions. Local STFU.
Oh, like a
local STFU union.
I'm in the computer industry, and I would be the union of RTFM, which is read the fucking manual.
Oh, very nice.
We can swear here.
Oh, well, fuck.
Yeah.
That's all good.
We have the explicit tag, so we don't have to, like, restrain ourselves. I never do.
I have been. Believe you me.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, I think we're at 50 minutes. I think we can call it a show.
Wow. Well, go us.
Oh yeah. Anybody up?
Thank you very much.
Let's do this. Let's put it out to people that are logged in.
Yeah.
Any questions or would you like to elaborate on anything we've talked about or call in? Hopefully there's a couple people still in the chat. We haven't driven them all away.
I think we pretty much have.
Okay. So I guess we can call a show.
Yeah.
I'll talk about this. You can talk about your stuff, where to get a hold of you, and when the next improv is.
Oh, well, I have a class coming up, too. I'm going to be teaching improv that starts the last week in October. For more information on that, people can visit yourinneraction.com. It's yourinneraction.com. If you can't figure out how to spell action, then I don't want you in my stupid class anyway. And so you can check me out on my website. We have the third Wednesday improv. That's at 7:30 this month, but usually 7 o'clock. And what else? That's all. You can follow me on Twitter if you want, RachyRach1, R-A-C-H-Y-R-A-C-H-1. And that's it.
I was having a hard time pronouncing that, but it's RachyRach. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You can, it's time for my stuff. You can
leave, please.
I have a couple numbers. You can leave a voicemail at, I got to remember the number. Damn it. I should have this written down. I don't know why I have this written down. But you can send us an email at intellectuallyshallow@gmail.com. You can friend us on Facebook. Facebook, ishallowshow.com. You can tweet me at ishallowshow. You can also call us at 207-619-3862. So everybody, thanks for listening. And
yeah, thank you.
Hopefully you can join us next week. And you can always go to our website at ishallowshow.com and leave a comment. And thank you very much and have a good evening. Bye, everybody.
Peace out.
Peace out.